Can we start it like, are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording. Okay.
Can we start it like just casual? Like, this wine tastes really good.
Super casual.
Let's talk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Bread and Wine. This is a candid conversation between a husband and a wife about all things marriage, kids, and money while having a glass of wine. Cheers to you, darling.
Cheers.
Ding.
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 We're not good liars.
No. Okay. Well, I said a glass of wine, but tonight we're having tea. Because then
it sounded dull. Muggish.
Yeah, it's like an aluminum mug. And normally when you clink wine, it goes ting.
Yeah. Tea for tonight.
Tea for tonight.
But thank you so much to the wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rachel.
Rachel, who got us a bottle of wine. We will definitely enjoy that next week.
Absolutely.
We'll
Rachel.
Another shout out.
Was very nice for doing that. And then she wrote this nice note to you. Thank you, Nicole, for sharing your personal experience on depression. Your honesty is helping many people. My husband and I love your podcast, Andy, and thank you for the work you do. Rachel, I really love words of affirmation. Nicole is going like this.
I'm so thankful for comments and reviews like that. And that really does keep me going. Mm-hmm. But it also makes me just cringe.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for me to be, I don't know. It's hard for me to get that acknowledgement. Like, it's easy for me to talk on the microphone because I'm not seeing anybody's faces. And then when I get that feedback, it's like seeing some faces looking through me.
Yeah, they're like real people in this room.
Oh, yeah. There are actually real people. But I appreciate it so much. And it does make me want to keep going because without any of that, I probably would just be like, who am I? Like, what am I doing this for?
Absolutely. So, Rachel, thank you very much. And thank you to many, many, many other people who reached out as well based on the episode. So it was very encouraging.
Yeah. Sorry for the downer, guys, but it's real.
I'm
a realist.
You're a realist. You're a realist,
I'm not
baby.
A pessimist. I'm a realist.
That's right. There's a big difference. So what do you want to talk about today with our tea?
Well, I want to talk about empathy and about... Well, specifically, it's come up for us with our kids.
Yes.
And sometimes it can be hard to tell where the line is between empathy and just enabling bad behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to explore that.
That's cool. What's the opposite of empathy?
Dictatorship? I don't know. Like just authoritarian.
So if I'm not empathetic, mm-hmm. I am...
apathetic? Like... you don't care.
I don't care at all.
At all?
Yeah. So the M is like emotion, and then I don't know. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to find the opposite, so we know where the lines lie, right?
But like in parenting.
Parenting. Yeah.
Empathetic. Mm-hmm. The empathetic approach is opposite to the just authoritarian. Do
1950s.
What I say.
Okay, there you go.
Because that's what I said.
Because I'm the parent, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because I said so.
Because I said so. Yeah.
Yeah. So while you and I grew up, I don't know. Maybe we're sort of in the middle of the 1950s parenting and 2022 parenting. Mm-hmm. But maybe we grew up with more closer to the authoritarian side, or not. I don't know. I don't think I did, really.
I can't see your mom
having
that approach at all.
Anyway, let's say we're the pendulum, while it used to be in the 1940s and 50s on the authoritarian side, it's definitely swung quite a bit towards the empathetic side here in 2022, right? So you'd agree with that.
I do agree with that. And I find myself wondering if it's the right approach,
yeah, the right swing.
Or are we just like kind of enabling like bratty behavior?
Yeah.
And there's no consequences. Mm-hmm. I know my heart tells me that being empathetic feels right.
Yes.
But sometimes my brain, seeing kids, even my kids, mm-hmm. have these like meltdowns
yeah.
and like not having like feeling like I have control over it, or not feeling like they're really like getting, you know, punished for it.
Sure.
Like, 'cause sometimes you do, like, you kind of, there's that like knee jerk reaction where, you know, you see bad behavior and you're like, I just want that person to get yelled at right now.
Right.
I just want somebody to put them in their place.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of like the army or whatever. Like, it's like, if the army ran on empathy, like, how would that go?
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what I mean?
I can't even imagine.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm sure the army's even changed over the past, whatever, 50 to 100 years. And maybe it's swung a little bit more towards, like, I don't know, maybe not empathy, but I'm just thinking, like, okay, well, it's not a, it's a court organization. It works, you know, the army works, right?
Yep.
That, and it's like, more authoritarian.
Yeah, like, just
so
whip them into shape.
It's not like it's a bad place. I'm sure there's, you know, there's bad things that could happen in any place. I'm sure there's bad things that have happened in the army, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's like one way is the bad way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I guess we're talking about children and parenting versus a grown adults in the army. I don't know. I guess I'm wondering, like, can we go too far with empathy? So maybe we should talk about
that. Let's give the example.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
There's a specific example that happened this week that kind of brought this up. So our son Calvin he just can literally wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Like, there could be nothing that, like, makes any sense that would make him be ornery or be in a bad mood. And yet, from the moment he wakes up, everything is just awful.
Depends.
You know, there's something in my eye, or like, you know, I don't want to brush my teeth, and everything is stomping and slamming doors, and like, just everything is just angry, mad boy. And so, like, your approach, you know, I think I've
depends been on like, what time of day my approach.
Yeah, I guess. But like, okay, so for the last, he's 7 years old now, and I've pretty much done most of the morning routine for that 7 years.
Yes.
And I've tried a lot of different approaches. I've tried handholding, you know, brushing my teeth with him. I've tried bribing. I've tried all kinds of things, but I haven't had anything that's had like success all of the time. And I recently think I've kind of just gotten to the point where I'm like, I can't feed into it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm so done that I'm just going to walk away. So when he's having those moments, I'll walk away. I'll go downstairs and start helping you make breakfast or whatever it is. And then lo and behold, he is still laying in bed when it's time to walk out the door.
Yeah.
So I think it was like a couple of weeks ago that you were like, I think I need to spend the mornings with him now. And I'm like, have at it.
Have at it, pal. Yeah.
I'll make toast.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It was getting kind of cushy down there. Like, my contribution was like, oh, actually, they like all the lunches. I don't really have to pack the lunch.
Yeah.
I would like kind of finish some podcasts and pull the car out. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing a lot. Now I would make breakfast. Anyway, yeah. We tried to split up the morning duty. You're on bagel duty.
And you're on everything else.
I'm on everything else.
And I've been loving it. Anyway, but you've been doing a really good job. And I think it's because you've been spending a lot of time being empathetic to him.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of hand holding.
Yeah.
And my concern is, even though it's working and it's making the mornings go great, but my concern is, are we just enabling this, like, bad behavior of needing to have somebody, you know, coddle him throughout the whole process?
So for me, I think that my mind gets a little used to how mature Zoe is. And I give him a harder time, I think. And forget that he's only 7 years old. So when I'm feeling calm and relaxed, I say, okay, he's seven. He hates school. He doesn't want to go to bed. Whatever. You know, and he's got his brain doesn't help him to realize that these are just things that we have to do as humans. What does he want? He just wants more of our time and more of our attention. Now, ultimately, that takes more time and attention away from you and I and me and Zoe, but the alternative, as we've seen, is pretty brutal, you know, of screaming, slamming, you know, and eventually not getting out of bed. So I don't know. I feel like I feel like I can combine sort of an empathetic time-based approach with, hey, get out of bed. And I know you don't want to go to school, but you got to go to school. So I'm giving him my time, but I think I'm sort of combining an authoritarian slash empathetic approach to parenting.
What are we going to do when you travel for work?
Yeah.
And it's me by myself and I can't do that hand-holding.
Yeah.
Are we setting ourselves up with like expectations that we can't always fulfill? I don't know. I just worry like about the whole enabling thing.
I hear you. I mean, I don't know. I feel like we expect a lot more out of him because of Zoe, because of how mature she is. I just don't think he's there yet. Like we got a 10-year-old daughter who's doing her own laundry. Like I'm like, so it's a tough act to follow, I guess, for a little boy who's still, you know, like screaming and slamming stuff and punching stuff for entertainment. So
I think about myself when I was younger, and I think about like when I would have these, you know, little like hissy fits.
Yeah.
And when people would, you know, give me a lot of attention for it. Now I don't specifically remember sitting there telling myself, I'm getting a lot of attention, therefore I'm going to keep being mad.
Mm-hmm.
But I sure do remember not getting over it until I was left alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I don't know. I just wonder, like...
Well, the leaving alone thing I think works. But when there's like a deadline or we got to be somewhere, then what?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's basketball or school.
Mm-hmm.
And this is partly me, how I grew up. Like I'm all about punctuality and like, I don't like being late for things. I think I got that as a, you know, growing up, we're not late. We don't show up late. And so when my son's,
I must really drive you crazy.
Man, I've gotten used to it. like a lot of things, I've found some sort of middle ground between how I used to be and how you used to be, right? Isn't that what marriage is? We just sort of like become like a medium mush of what we used to be.
Remember when you like didn't know that you needed to wipe down the top of your the top of your stove.
Top of my stove. Oh, like in Royal Oak?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Like you'd like everything else would kind of be clean in the, for a dude's house. And then like the stove would just be like, I mean, like spaghetti sauce, like just totally splattered all over. And I'm like, whoa. Do you not see that?
Yeah.
So now I think I give you more of a critical eye with that.
I've definitely upped my cleaning game since you and I got married. you've definitely had a very good influence on me there.
All right, we totally went off on a tangent.
That's okay.
Where were we? So I've made you less cringy about being late, but it's still not a great quality, I know. Okay, but... So that makes
it's also
you
not a great
more...
quality to like yell at your kids because they're like 1 minute late in the morning either. So to your point, there's got to be a middle ground. Like sometimes I calm myself down in the car. I'm just like, what's the worst that happens? They're 1 minute late for second grade or whatever, you know. But also, it's like, well, it's a skill in life to be punctual. I think people appreciate that, and
yeah. You know, now, do you remember before you became a parent, like, did you ever give any thought to like what kind of how you would be as a parent?
No,
like,
not at all.
Can you recall any times where you were either at the grocery store or here or there or whatever, and like a kid was behaving badly and you ever like judged or thought, I would never do that? Or
sure. Especially in my, like, I feel like I know I'm going to be a better parent than these people kind of thing. I feel like that came out in like my teenage years
or
my
20s. Okay, but in general, I know you felt that way, but do you have a specific example that you can remember?
Oh, I remember about behavior like that.
Yeah, like a specific moment where you saw some behavior and you what happened. And...
Well, there was times where my brother and my sister would be you know, their kids would be in a bad mood or something like that. And, but I don't remember any specific times where I would have had an opinion based on how they were parenting. No, you have a much more clear memory of past events than I do. But generally, I've seen kids at the grocery store or whatever, like having a hissy fit, being, and I'm sure I was like, well, my kid's never going to do that or whatever. I'll show him. We'll drag him right out of the store.
Right.
You know, but then it's like, well, what if you have to like get groceries and that's why you came there?
I can remember like a time when I was at a wedding and my stepmom, who is like such a, she's a, such a caring, wonderful, calm person. She was caring and calm and kind and empathetic towards my stepbrother. And my stepbrother at the time was kind of like, I don't know, like I remember him maybe being the only child at the wedding. So, you know, he didn't have anybody to play with or anything. And it was a adult dinner.
Totally.
And I remember, but I remember him doing some kind of like things that were like disruptive. Like he was like getting under the table and like, you know, maybe like playing with like a rubber ball and like bouncing it at like places. And I was like, not used to that. And, you know, kind of wanting her to like put her foot down and like get him in line, you know,
yeah,
get him
to
stop doing that. It wasn't my place to do it, but like I remember like feeling really like anxious about it and like wanting her to like like not yell at him, but kind of like, you know, grab him by the ear and tell him stop behaving poorly, you know.
Sure.
And like thinking back now, that just seems so silly. It's like he's not an adult. Like I do put myself in his shoes and
he's at a boring event and he had nobody to talk to. He only knew his mom and
like, you know,
just
what?
Wanted her attention.
Him and his mom have a wonderful relationship to this day. So it does get me thinking that even though it kind of feels like my brain was telling me like I want her to have control over him and get him to stop this behavior. My heart tells me that what she did was, you know, kind and he wasn't hurting anything. And you know what? She was giving him, I don't know. Maybe there's something in between, but I look at like, again, their relationship now. And I think like what she did was a good parenting technique.
Maybe what we're coming to is that empathy takes a little bit more time and it takes a lot more of your attention away from other things that it could be important in your life. Long term, that's probably great. If you're pressed for time and you need to get stuff done and you got somewhere to be, authoritarian helps a little bit more. But if what we're trying to do with all of this life planning, designing thing that you and I are trying to do, control more of our time, control more of our money, shouldn't we try to create more time so that we don't have to have more issues?
What do you mean create more time?
Well, I mean, if working with Calvin to get where we need to go or do what we need to do just requires more attention and time. And in the long run, that nets a great relationship, as as is described with your stepbrother and Karen, then isn't it worth it?
Yeah. So maybe one of the key takeaways is like, there's a difference between your short-term results and your long-term results.
Yes.
Like sometimes my knee-jerk reaction is to get that short-term result. And I just want to like, slap their hand or tell them to stop what they're just, you know, yell or whatever. But yeah, that's not going to yield the long-term results that I want.
So when do we need to use more authoritarian? Well, I can't even think of the word.
I mean, I don't know. It's interesting because sometimes
like an emergency situation, like we can't empathize if the house is on fire.
Right.
I remember reading that book. I forgot what it's called. Happy Parent, Happy Life or something.
Something about like stop yelling and
Stop yelling and start connecting. But I just remember reading it as a young parent with little kids that they don't always listen to you. I'm like, well, I had this sort of negative guy in my head being like, well, I'm not going to empathize with my daughter if she picks up a knife and mm-hmm. she's about to like stab herself with it, you know?
Right.
And so I don't know, maybe there's.
What did you remember like reading the book and yeah. being like.
I remember judging it as I mm-hmm. went through it, but mm-hmm. then ultimately being like, yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Empathy is better in the long run.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's when you and I stopped doing timeouts and.
Yeah. Like, I remember my cousin telling me about this book and being like, actually, timeout, they don't recommend that. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah. timeout sound great. Like, you're not hurting your child. You're yes. like, oh God, how granola is this right. book that they're saying even timeouts are bad? And yeah. actually, as I was reading it, mm-hmm. all of the medical information that they mm-hmm. provided about the just kind of the reactions that people have about and like what can go on in the brain when you're separated at a time when you're
at high stress.
Yeah, yeah. And just kind of how like all of the repercussions of being left alone. Mm-hmm. And then I started to come around and be like, all right, I can kind of actually see how timeouts could be bad.
Yeah.
Or not bad, but like they are, there's a better way.
Sure. Better way. Yeah. And also just like, as they get older, physically putting them in timeout won't always work.
You right. know,
it's like, oh, this boy's actually bigger than me now. Mm-hmm. Or.
However, here's what I remember happening. Like mm-hmm. when we first started doing like more empathetic parenting, I remember it working a few times. And then in certain situations, it would work. In certain situations, it did not work. Mm-hmm. And it actually created more of a meltdown. Mm. Like it was like, you know, I would, okay, so when they would get upset, one of the children would get upset. So I would, you know, try to do the lean in instead of time out, time in.
Mm-hmm.
Go sit next to them. And then, so that would prompt then, you know, maybe Calvin at the time would like then push me away or very purposely get up and move to another area and then, or get up and slam the door, you know? And so it was like, the more I tried to like be empathetic or ask questions or rub his back and tell him everything was going to be okay. The more he would use that as an opportunity to show me how mad he was. And it would like almost escalate.
Interesting.
And so, you know, I mean, sometimes, and then he would like, do you remember when he would kick the back of the seat in the car?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it would be like, you know, at that point you're driving, mm-hmm. you're trying to say yeah. like comforting things like, buddy, I know what's going on in your head. Like, mm-hmm. I know. And yeah. it's okay that you're upset. Right. And he would just be kicking the back of the seat.
So that's
and
a good example.
Yeah. All that would work mm-hmm. was yelling at him and scaring
stop.
Him.
Totally.
Yep. Do you remember that?
I do.
It was like, we literally would try like 12 different
yes.
things, but like.
I do.
Our hands were literally tied to the steering wheel. You can't, I mean.
And it's a dangerous situation yeah. for you to be yelling and not paying attention to the road. Okay. Well, I think we're getting to something here then.
The authoritarian thing.
You got to pull it out sometimes.
You do. Actually, this reminds me of some great parenting advice we've gotten from your sister and yeah. her husband. That's like, in order to keep them in line, every once in a while, just lose your shit.
Right.
Just so that they see that you yes. can.
Yeah.
That's a very, but you can't do it all the time.
Yes.
Because.
It's like a comedy skit where they swear the entire time, so it loses its flavor. But if they swear like one or two times,
right.
like, oh, they did the punchline
yeah.
right there.
Yeah, you can't do it like enough for them yes. to be desensitized to it. But you know, and then you can't never do it.
Right.
Then they'll just walk all over you.
Okay.
So there has to be like.
So we're 90% empathy, 10% yeah. like, I'm like scared the crap out of
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Like, if you don't know how crazy this
right.
is.
Well, I feel like we kind of do that, don't we? I mean, there's some, I could think of some times where I lost my.
Yeah.
Like when we were up at treetops and he like wouldn't get out of my face and kept on splashing me and like, I want to try to talk to you. And then it's just like, forget it. Splashed waters right in his eyes. So I was like, sort of like bullied my own son. But I sort of wanted him to realize yeah. what I say, you have to stop over and over
yeah.
again.
You gave plenty of.
I gave him like 45 warnings.
Warnings.
Very like, from empathetic to all the way to like, hey, you're going to have to stop.
Like
you're poking the bear.
I am losing my patience. Yes. Like lots of communicating about you are about to get
final thing was a splash of water in the eyes. Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. No, it was pretty funny.
Actually. It was kind of funny.
I don't mind.
But see what I mean? That's my that's our lizard brains being like he deserves
it. Okay, well, kind of does deserve. But okay, my more evolved brain says like, okay, well, he's just a little boy.
I know.
And all he wants is your attention. He thinks very highly of you and wants all of your attention 100% of the time. But I have a wife. Mm-hmm. And I want to give her most of my attention. And
right.
I have a daughter, and I don't want her to feel left out from getting attention because she's very mature. That's unfair for her. And her and right. I have talked about that too. She's like, I feel like since I'm doing a good job, I get less attention.
Right.
You know, which is not cool, you know?
Right.
So.
Like, because she actually goes to her bed at night when we tell her to.
Yep.
And Calvin does not. Mm-hmm. He comes into our bed and then I'll look, you know, a million times back and forth.
But so that might turn into her rebelling as a preteen or whatever to get more attention. So I got to think about that.
She gets less snuggles at night because she's following the rules and going to her bed.
Exactly.
That's not really fair.
All right. Well, let's do some takeaways. I think we've come to some good conclusions here. I think this last section here really helped me.
I did say one earlier, but now I can't remember what it was.
Well, you know, we'll just do it again.
Okay.
Do you want to start? Or do you want me to start?
So I will say my first key takeaway is, well, we never broached the subject of when does it become enabling. But I guess I'll my key takeaway.
Maybe it's 100%.
Hmm?
You know, because we were saying like 90%, 10%, you know, maybe it's 100%, 100% enabling gets, 100% empathy gets.
Gets some enabling.
Gets some enabling,
you
maybe.
You know what? I think you're right.
Yeah.
But 90% is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then save that 10% for just going batshit crazy when you need to.
That's right.
To show them that you can lose your temper.
Yes.
It's I important. Like that.
That's good. That's a very good point.
Is my key takeaway.
Okay. So key takeaway number two for me is I just have to constantly remind myself as I get frustrated that my son is 7 years old and his brain isn't fully evolved and it's going to take some time. And at the end of the day, like with your story of your stepbrother, like just wants our attention.
Yeah.
And he's young and he doesn't know how to express that.
Okay. So basically your key takeaway number two is be empathetic.
Well, it's
really
empathetic.
Do put yourself in that.
I'm trying to.
Person's shoes and realize
I'm not always this calm as I am right now.
Yeah.
I've adopted a meditation app to really help me be a better parent too. Like I'm on a roll with it and it's really great, but it helps me to just, cause taking a breath and relaxing helps you to center yourself and get more to that evolved brain than the lizard brain.
And I will say when we have done that, the empathetic approach, like we've actually uncovered some, like, usually the reason for the behavior does stem from something.
Yeah.
And it's usually not just like them wanting to be little brats.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a time when Zoe was, you were packing for work and you were kind of stressed about it because you were running late or you just wanted to get it done or whatever it was. And she kept taking like your clothes out of your bag and running away with it. And one might be like, oh my God, she is just trying to make this difficult for me because she is being bratty.
Mm-hmm.
But then through talking to her about it, instead of just being like, give that back to me. You know, I remember you being really like kind to her about it and like talking to her about it. And I mean, she was only like five at the time, but lo and behold, she, with her own cute little baby words, said, I just don't want you to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't because she was trying to make it difficult for you on purpose. She was making it difficult for you because she loves you and didn't want you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So, whereas, like, I think, like, I was starting to be, like, ready to, like, yell at her and just be like, put it back in Dad's suitcase. Like, stop that. And then I'm so glad that I didn't have that reaction because, like, that would have crushed her little heart. She probably would have been like, fine, put it back and then go cry.
Yeah.
Like, but Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I'm so glad. I don't remember that at all.
No, I totally remember that.
I'm so glad
that.
You have such a good memory. And I was like glad that the story didn't end with me yelling at her.
No, it was the opposite.
I was like, oh, did I get all pissed at her?
It was me wanting to yell and then you being like, no, let me talk to her. And then, and then this like beautiful little confession coming out of it and a realization that like, oh, yeah, she's not like being bratty or manipulative.
Yeah.
She literally is doing this out of kindness and love, and that's how she that's the only that's the way it comes out from a child in from a child. Like they don't
go give her a hug
they don't know how to like communicate that. It comes out in naughty behavior.
It does, yeah. They just want your attention. Absolutely. Do you have a three?
My third. Let's see, we already talked about empathy not being bad, but not doing it all the time. Well, I think if I could just okay, so let's just reconfigure the three. The
there's
first,
no authoritarian science to this, so you could repeat it again. I don't
wait,
I think
no,
people would like it.
Because I think it's like there are three, but I think we may have lumped them. Okay, so the first one being that empathy is a good approach. And that, but not 100%, maybe 90%.
Yeah,
and then I guess
far, yeah.
yours is reminding yourself
reminding
of the person's
myself,
capabilities and their brain capabilities.
Yes.
And then the third is, like, don't forget to like, you know, give warnings, but it's okay to lose your cool. Because I do think that A shows that you're human.
You got limits.
B, it's reality. Yeah. I mean, it's limits and we can't always be empathetic all of the time. Otherwise we will not fulfill our own needs of like you and I wanting to talk to each other.
So true. So true.
Yeah. And I think it also like, it shows our kids that like, hey, when they lose their cool, like don't feel that bad about it. We are all human. Like mom and dad do it too. And we're grown adults. So I think it like almost gives them, you know, it shows them that it's normal.
And with that, I think there's been times where I do lose my cool and I end up feeling bad about it. And I will go and I'll talk to him and I'll apologize or talk to Zoe, and, you know, when she was younger. And I think it's important for them to see that we're fallible as well, that we can make mistakes and we apologize.
But show them how to deal with the repercussions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And show them how to do it. And maybe they, maybe when they make mistakes in the future, then they know how to apologize and they know how to have conversations with people.
Right.
Because we all make mistakes. We're all, we're human.
Yeah.
We're human.
Yeah.
So. Cool. All right. Good chat.
Good chat.
All right. How about a movie night?
Yeah.
Everybody, thank you for hanging out with us and having this conversation about... is empathy dead in parenting? I don't know. I'll come up with a cool title. But
wait,
yeah,
empathy or enabling?
Empathy or enabling? That's right. If you have any ideas for us to do for episodes, you can contact us at what is the website? You can go to marriagekidsandmoney.com/voicemail. That would be cool because we could like read it or listen to it. And then also you could just shoot me a note on social media at Andy Hill MKM. That's at Andy Hill MKM. And thank you again for all the beautiful notes and words of affirmation from last week. We really appreciate it. Keep that positive and real commentary coming as a realist over there. Look at me at the couch. And we will we'll hang out with y'all soon. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.